And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The man of the hour, Donald Trump. Welcome to the program, Mr. Trump.
Thank you, Michael, and you have been amazing. But wouldn't you maybe be the most important man above me? Perhaps.
You're giving me a compliment. That's a good sign. I say walls work, and the best example, Mr. Trump, is Israel. Everybody forgets that the Palestinians were killing Jews, left and right, blowing up discos, blowing up pizza parlors, and the Jews were building a wall with the West Bank, and the very same liberals who were screaming, don't build a wall with Mexico, said Israel's racist, Israel's this, Israel's that, don't build a wall. Guess what? Since that wall went up with the West Bank, I haven't seen one bombing.
Right. You know what? It worked very well in Israel, and it works in other places, and it'll work great here. Now, you have to build a wall. You can't build like a little toy that they have now where people just crawl over the fence or they get a little ladder from Home Depot and they walk over the fence.
Time for a victory lap on the Savage Nation. We won. They lost. That's all. I may not be as gracious as Donald Trump was with whatever his name was, that guy from Canada. I don't remember his name. A senator from somewhere who ran against him. I may not be so as gracious as him because I'm not running for office. He is. But that was a soundbite from a little while ago on the Savage Nation. And I will remind you, I am the architect of Trump's message. It doesn't matter what my detractors want you to believe. Everyone who listens to this show recognizes the overtures and the themes. My producers wrote something up for me this morning on the Savage Nation, which I will read. It is third person. It's short. It's three paragraphs. You were the first major media player to openly come out and support Trump, Michael. You did it because you believe he is the man to build a wall and to stop Muslim immigration until we can figure this thing out. They were staples of your 22-year-long message of borders, language, and culture. Much of what Trump has said on the campaign trail over the past 10 months are ideas both written in your best-selling books and spoken on your radio show. Simply put, Savage, you have influenced the change America is seeing today in the political landscape. Your dissenting views and opinions have become the majority voice in America, and Donald Trump is the public face for that movement. They wrote it, not me. Savage has been a voice against Obama's America Last mentality, wanting America to come first. Donald Trump's foreign policy has been modeled with an America First mindset. Savage has been very vocal about taking the fight to ISIS and stopping the pinprick attacks that Obama has been using. Trump says he would knock them out hard. Savage is the only one saying that Russia is our natural ally in helping stop the fight against terror. Trump agreed and said we have to stop thinking of Russia the way we used to, the way old, passe Reaganheads still see the new world. Savage has talked about leveling the playing field on trade. Trump has made statements on enacting tariffs on countries like China. Now, I have a question for my audience today, because it's a very big day in American political history. Many of the geniuses in the media and in politics said this could never happen. It never happened. They discounted him the way they've discounted me. They turned him into a show creature, a clown, or this or that. Well, they're all eating their own words right now. I want to ask you, the listener of the show, the core of the audience, the core of Donald's support, do you think my shows and Mr. Trump's visits on these shows motivated you in the primaries? Which state did you vote in? Which state did you vote in? Did you help? Did his visits help make a decision? That's all. It's that simple. Visits to the show. 855-400-7282. Now let's go to China. 855-400-SAVAGE. Single question. Have the Savage Nation shows over the last months, particularly Donald Trump's visits, motivate you in the primaries? And which state did you vote in? I looked at an analysis of Trump's victory in a China newspaper. I can't even pronounce it. I'd be faking it if I tried to. I think it's Xinhua. I don't know how to pronounce X-I-N-H-U-A. Xinhua. I can't get past the words dim sum in a Chinese restaurant or pork fried rice. But in China, they wrote an analysis of his victory, and they said he could beat Hillary. They know a lot more than the Cruzites do. They know a lot more than the fools on the Hill. I'm going to read you what they wrote in China. U.S. Republican candidate Donald Trump has virtually secured the nomination with a win in Indiana Tuesday night, and experts say he could even beat likely Demo nominee Clinton in the presidential race if he can tone down noticed that his explosive rhetoric toned down. I'll get into that in a minute. They're wrong. The brash businessman cruised to an easy win in Indiana, which forced his chief rival, Senator Ted Cruz, to quit his campaign. While many analysts only 6 months ago dismissed Trump as a flash in the pan, I didn't. I told you he would win. They simply underestimated the level of public anger over the weak U.S. job market and bitterness against Washington insiders. Washington insiders. I guess that would include many in the media, wouldn't it? While Trump has a high negative rate, the rate at which people dislike a candidate, those of Clinton are nearly as high, as a number of Americans find her stiff and unapproachable and see her as someone who does not understand the needs of ordinary Americans. That's about half the story. She also is corrupt, and most Americans know that. But perhaps the most telling is that Clinton has failed to galvanize her party or excite her supporters in the same ways Trump has done. Remember, this is from a newspaper in China. But, they say, the most telling is that Clinton has failed, but this has been shown by strong Democratic support for rival Senator Bernie the Communist Sanders, who put up a tough fight, blah, blah, blah. Sanders is expected to stay in the nomination long after his win in Indiana Tuesday night. For a virtual unknown, listen to what the Chinese say, for a virtual unknown and a socialist at that, a philosophy seen by many as un-American, no kidding, as seen as un-American. The only people who see socialism as American are the invaders and the subversives. What do you mean, American? The country was founded on capitalism, idiots! Go to Russia in the 1920s if you want socialism. It doesn't even exist there anymore. Morons! You don't belong in this country with your socialist message. But I'll get around that to another day and another time. Despite being a celebrity outside the United States, Clinton, the former First Lady and Secretary of State, simply neither excites nor galvanizes her base. Some analysts now say that the only one who can beat Trump is Trump himself. While he has galvanized the Republican rank and file like no other Republican candidate in recent years, he is also vehemently disliked by many outside his base. Republican strategist Ford O'Connell, whoever he is, I have no idea who these people are, told Xinhua that if Trump just adjusts his rhetoric a bit to be less offensive, he could actually win this thing. We don't know who the strategist is, but he's a classic, middle-of-the-road, check-pants, useless, country club Republican creep. The type you hated in high school. The tone and rhetoric is a major problem, said the Republican strategist. I love that the Chinese interviewed Ford O'Connell. No one knows who he is. Anyway, the unknown O'Connell goes on to say he only needs to do a combined 600,000 votes, more than Romney, did in 4 to 5 states, and if he does that, he's the next president of the United States, O'Connell said. Trump has, in fact, quickly changed his tone after the Indiana win. In his victory speech in New York, he already praised his rival Cruz, who we used to call Lion Ted, as a tough, smart guy who has got an amazing future. They write, still there is the burning question of Hispanic voters. The Hispanic vote is particularly worrisome for Trump, as he is strongly disliked by many in this crucial voting bloc, after calling Mexican immigrants rapists and vowing to build a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. Well, first of all, that's a lie. He did not call Mexican immigrants rapists. He never said that. This is a Chinese communist newspaper trying to smear Trump by making believe that they're saluting Trump. You get it? However, if Trump chooses former Republican candidate Marco Rubio, they write, the son of a Cuban immigrant, as a running mate, the Florida senator could help Trump gain enough Hispanic votes. Nonsense. Rubio was a none player. He's a zero. A zero. Rubio was an invention from the get-go of the Republican establishment. I called him the ice cream man 2 years ago. I knew who he was. O'Connell said Trump would need just about 30% of the Hispanic vote to win the White House, adding that Rubio's Spanish language skills would also help smooth over Trump's image. That's utter nonsense. It's not about Rubio. This is the Chinese Communist Party newspaper telling Trump to team up with Rubio in order to shaft Trump with the white voter, in plain English. You want me to be very clear with you there? I was very clear with you. They want him to choose Rubio so he loses his white base. The very base that got him where he is, they want him to lose now by appeasing La Raza. End the story. That's the opening to my show, but I'm not finished with the opening yet. I just got started. There's another couple of interesting analyses of this situation yesterday. Ted Cruz overplayed his hand with the GOP, and now he's done. Jeffrey Blahar, New York Post. A leftist who writes a blog about music named Bob Lefsetz. it's an odd name, Lev Setz, went into this. And he said, the more the intelligentsia tells me he's unelectable, the more I want to vote for him. Nobody knows anything, especially the smart and educated. We continually laud the graduates of Ivy League institutions. Those with money and fame can do no wrong, but then they do. Well, okay, sir, I'm highly educated, sir, and I've been behind Trump for quite a while. I realize that you and Woody Allen don't have radios in your apartments, and you don't drive cars, so you don't get radio. I get it. I get the intelligentsia of New York and America. They don't even use the Internet. Woody Allen boasted this morning in an interview he's never sent an email in his life. But he's a strong supporter of Bernie Sanders, don't you know? Here's a man who begs for money to produce his schmaltzy movies from millionaire capitalists, and then he says he's a socialist. Typical Brooklyn picklehead. But that's what you get from insular jerks in New York City who think that they're a member of the intelligentsia. Running after money and screaming that money is dirty. You got it. So now let's go back to the other issues of the day on the program. I don't have many other questions for you right now. But I was pleased to note that last night, during Trump's acceptance speech of the victory in Indiana, as he left the stage, and it was quite a stirring speech in its own way, he repeated himself, he rambled, he went on and on, he repeated the same themes. As he left the stage, they played one of my signature bumper music pieces called Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones. Don't tell me that they haven't been listening to this show. Don't tell me that they're not subliminally reaching out to my core audience, who they know, which numbers in the millions, by the way. You are the margin of whether Trump wins or loses. Do you know that? So let me conclude my introduction in the following way. This audience of millions of listeners is who Trump needs to beat Hillary. If they should triangulate you by moving to the left, you'll walk away from him and he will lose. The worst thing that the Trump campaign can do, and I hope they're listening again today. I really hope some of them are taking notes. Listen very carefully. Listen carefully. You're now being surrounded by all of the eels and the snakes from the mud that destroyed the Republican Party. And they're going to advise your candidate to tone it down, to go to the middle, to triangulate and try to get the Sanders voters. Go ahead. Go and do that, because what you're going to do in doing that is you're going to walk away from the core audience that will be deciding as will be the deciders of whether or not Donald Trump wins. I'll be back on the Savage Nation, believe me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, everyone in the media is listening to the show today because they said, wait a minute, that guy Savage, who I underestimated, was right all along. What does he know that I don't know? That's what they're saying to themselves. I don't need them to send me an email or to send me roses and say you were right and I was wrong. They're wondering what it is about me that was able to figure out that Trump would be the victor. And he, by the way, I'll give you a little further prediction. He's going to be the next president, incidentally. I already bought a new suit for the inauguration. It's a waterproof one because it always rains during the inauguration in January. I already bought the black umbrella. It's a special order from London's Fleet Street. That's a printing street, by the way. I know the difference. I meant Savile Row, but I don't even know if Savile Row is there anymore. It could be Savile Row and making burkas in London today. But someone sent me an email. Let me tell you something. A friend of mine, I like that, a friend of mine sent me an email and said, you know, Savage, when Trump becomes president, you're liable to become his Al Sharpton. I said, what do you mean? And my friend said, just like Sharpton's been in and out of the Obama White House like 50 times through the back door, they hide him as an advisor and God knows what. You're going to go in and out of the Trump White House. I said, I won't go in the back door. I'll tell you that right now. If I go into the Trump White House as an advisor, it's going to be through the front door. And I want to actually speak out loud and think out loud about this, because I've been thinking to myself about this. I believe Trump's going to beat her in a landslide. That's personally what I truly believe. I don't care how many illegals he brings in, Obama. I don't care what kind of, you know, how they jury-rigged the voting. He's got a better team than people thought, Trump, and he's much smarter than they thought. They all underestimated him. The Daily News run 30 headlines in New York, calling him every name under the sun. Are they not laughing today? Old Mort Zuckerman is not laughing today. None of them are laughing today because they realize that when he does become president, they're liable to have hell to pay for what they've said about him or what they've tried to do in mocking him. So I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, and I joked once, do you remember, a few months ago, Donald was on this show, and I said, when you become president, I'd like to run HHS. Do you remember that? I mean, I'll acknowledge I said it, not so jokingly, because I'd like to clean up the welfare state. It would be like Grant took Richmond if I ever ran HHS. I cut welfare so fast, the food stamps would disappear. Nobody would know what hit them, and half of them would find out they could suddenly live without them. Suddenly, all of a sudden, they'd be living anyway, like they did. Somehow, my family was poor. They didn't need food stamps to get by. They just didn't, need as much. They didn't need 3 televisions and 5 cars and 12 vacations at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? You live on less. It's that simple. So when the government stops giving you handouts, you don't wind up in the gutter necessarily. What you wind up is with living less. So, yeah, I could clean up HHS, but the thing is, A, he's not going to offer it to me for 2 reasons, and B, I wouldn't take it for 3 reasons. A, I am not a bureaucrat. I will not run a major agency because all it would be sitting at a desk 12 to 16 hours a day having meetings with people who want something from me. Either they want a grant or a contract, or a vendor wants a grant or a contract. And that's not my lifestyle. It would be a step way down from where I am. I am not a bureaucrat. I never have. I've never been a suit. There are people who are expert, by the way, at managing organizations and managing people. That's not who I am at all. Ever. Never was. There are people who do it, and we need them. But I'm not it. So don't think I'm looking for that job. Believe me, I'm not.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Yeah, they said it couldn't be done. The kid from Queens knew nothing, right? Now, other genius, the schmucks at the New York Times, that putz at the Weekly Standard, that Schmendrick, he couldn't run a Carvel stand when I was a kid. He looked like a moron. If I was an 18-year-old, I wouldn't let him in my crowd, that idiot at the Weekly Standard. He looked like a rich kid, his father owned a clothing store in Jackson Heights. That moron, anti-Trump. All of a sudden, he's not anti-Trump anymore with the Weekly Standard, left out in left field. But let me tell you this. I grew up on the other side of Union Turnpike in Queens. For those of you who know Queens, I'll say it again. Trump lived on the rich side. I lived on the middle class side. And even on the middle class side, there were gradations. Those in detached houses, they called them, were in the better, higher class. I lived in like a row attached brick house like in England. Think black and white, 1950s English movie, working class factory houses. To me it was a mansion. We had moved from the Bronx in a slum to get us away from the bad neighborhood, which I missed for the rest of my life, by the way, the bad neighborhood. And to live in a house with a little backyard was paradise for me. Kids don't know that they're not rich unless someone tells them that. Do you understand that? And then, of course, if you have a media that continuously hits the poor with images of the rich and rubbing their face, of course there's going to be class resentment, which is, of course, why we have the problem today. It wasn't as pronounced in those days. We certainly knew there were rich people, but I don't think there was. I never had the resentment for it. I only wanted to be them. Never resented them. I wanted to live in a nicer house. My dad would sell, you know, antiquities to some of these people way out in Long Island. He'd come back with stories after making a delivery, let's say, of a grandfather clock. He would say at night, he'd come back to the table and he'd say, wow, he said, I was out in Riverhead in some estate over the Long Island Sound. He said, you should have seen it. And he said, the ocean was crashing below. It was like a Hitchcock movie to me. So what do you think that engendered in me? You think it engendered jealousy? No. Hostility for the rich? No. It made me want to live there. So I don't understand why people resent the rich when we live in a society where there is still upward mobility. Okay, so let's put that aside. So I'm on the other side of the track, so to speak, from Donald Trump, breathing the same air. And I happen to know, looking at him, New York Military Academy, snotty rich kid, he would have had nothing to do with a kid like me when I was a teenager. He would have sneered at me. Let's be very clear. But the times, they are a-changing, my friend. I am the audience for Donald Trump. I am the person who galvanized America's
white, working, middle class Eddie for Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. I don't need anyone to tell me that I did that. I need to tell you I did that. Most of you in the media who are sitting there cynically listening to me don't understand something. It's time for you to sit and listen. It's time for you to sit down, fold your hands, shut your mouth, and listen. Because you didn't know what was going to happen, and I did. Now, maybe I don't sound, let's say, as eloquent as you may like. Or as toned down as you would like. But that's not my style. This is my style. This is how I talk when I actually speak. Most of the day, I have a vow of silence. I don't talk at all. I work alone with a dog in a room, period. A small group of rooms. I'm dedicated and devoted to one thing only, which is my radio show and writing books. That's all I do. That's all I do. If I see people, which is very seldom, I have to control myself because I'd rather speak like this. And since it offends and frightens people, I don't talk at all. I talk with you, probably, you the audience, more honestly than I do with individuals, in the sense that you're not being bristled by what I'm saying, in the sense that an individual would be in the same room. You can turn the show off if you're offended by me. They can't. So I tend to like modulate myself, and I don't like the feeling. And what I'm saying to you is there's a revolution going on in America. You are the revolution. The Savage Nation is the revolution that just happened in this country. Attention China. Attention Mexico. Attention Japan. Attention Europe. We are the reason Donald Trump just won the primary. Nobody else. So pay close attention to this show going forward. And you're liable to hear the real voices of America as opposed to the fakers on television like Wolf Blitzer and the others whose names I don't remember. They are not America. They are not the white men who voted for Trump. It's not Jake Tapper who voted for Donald Trump. It's the out-of-work factory worker in Indiana who voted for Donald Trump. The poor guy who was disenfranchised from his own nation by the imposter in the White House. And I cannot understand how these people don't get it yet. They keep talking about the Trump this and the Trump that, and they don't dare say one bad word about the imposter in the White House. They don't dare say one word about what he has done and is doing to the poor white man in this country, which would explain in great part why Donald Trump just triumphed. They won't connect the dots to Obama because the minute their brain even goes there, they shut it off. They are so brainwashed with fear that they won't even make the obvious connections. They'll talk about Trump and Hillary and Bernie and this, but when have you seen any connection to Obama's policies as they relate to Trump's triumph? I've seen it nowhere. Nowhere. There's no connection. Am I right, Robert? You haven't seen it. No one has said it's Obama's policies that led to Trump's triumph. Nobody has said that, but I just did. And make a note of it. Because he is the reason Trump just won, and Obama is the reason that Trump will beat Hillary. Mark it down. Make a note of it. Make a note of it. The 4th of May in the year 2016. Now, the phone number here is, I don't even know the number. The lines are so jammed out with people who are dying to get on the air, and I want to take them all. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you how it is. I want to thank you all for listening so intently and being with me on this day. You could say it's a victory day. It is. Because we've all worked very hard to have our voices heard. Now, I know the detractors are going to say he's not a conservative and he's not this and he's not that. Good for them. Let them cash in their cruise dollars somewhere. Let's see what the cruise currency is worth today. It's worth nothing. It's like, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. I told you that story once before. That after the Confederacy lost the Civil War, their currency, which there was a Southern currency, had no value. And yet there were people running around the South screaming, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. And that's what you're going to hear from the Cruzites. Save your cruise currency. Yeah, right, okay. It's sad to watch him. Day before, she falls off the stage, and like a hidden hand pulled her down. Fiorina, a hand came out from nowhere, yanked her off the stage. I said, there was God's hand. That was like, you talk about God? All we heard from him was God. The day before he took a beating, a hand comes up and pulls Fiorina down from the bottom like an invisible hand. I said, there's God's hand. Yesterday, during the defeat speech, he gives his father a hug and smashes his wife Heidi in the face with an elbow. Well, that's a sensitive kind of guy. When Fiorina fell off the stage, he didn't even notice it. He kept marching on with the children. They're going to need constant therapy after this campaign. No, I'm sad. I have to tell you this. To use children like that in the campaign over and over again, the kids didn't even know where they were. They're going to need therapy. They're going to need deep therapy, the Cruz children, from what he did to them. The guy abused them, in my opinion. You don't use children like that in the campaign. These are children. They are not grown-ups. Trump has grown-up children. They're not children. They're adults. Talk about that amongst yourselves and think about it. All right, so now we're on to the question, which I asked. How has the Savage Nation influenced Trump's policies? Answer, totally. Michael Savage said, I'm the architect of Trump's message. Make America Great Again means borders, language, and culture. This was published on the 24th of February, 2016. It was written by Bob Unruh, a great writer for WorldNet Daily, and it's worth reading. I put it back up on my website because I said, boy, this was pretty good. Talk radio icon Savage says GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is winning because he's pushing the ideas that Savage himself has been bringing to the American public for years already. In a monologue on Wednesday, Savage, heard by millions of listeners and syndicated in more than 250 markets, said, the Savage Nation has now risen to national prominence through the victories of Donald Trump. And that's 100% true. In other words, for years, there were people who were very uncomfortable with my message, both in radio, in the publishing world, and then I saw something happen. They suddenly were saying, you know what, everything this guy has been saying, whether I agree with it or not, is now suddenly become popular in America. Maybe we better pay a little closer attention to him. For 21 years, my message has been borders, language, and culture, Savage said. My last 3 to 4 books, if you look at them, my solutions for saving America. Many of these bullet points or talking points that you find in Government Zero, my latest New York Times bestseller, have been and are being used by the Trump campaign to the credit of Donald Trump and, of course, to the benefit of the United States of America. And I'm going to take credit not for getting out the vote. I certainly wouldn't take credit for that, but for being the architect of Trump's messaging. On that note, I will take a call. WABC in New York City, Mike, you're very important to us. What's on your mind, Mike?
So, Dr. Savage, you know, I'm a New York City resident. Like I said, I'm 30 years old. I voted Kerry, Obama, Obama, started listening to your show, and basically through your show, I sort of realized how the left just hates the freedom of speech, freedom of thought. You know, they don't stand for the things they say, and it basically, you know, it brought me over to Trump, and I voted for Trump, you know, the first Republican I ever voted for this past primary.
Mm-hmm. So you do credit the show with changing your viewpoint.
Your show helped me see that the left really is against freedom of speech, freedom of thought.
Are you kidding? With the thought control on college campuses? It's a no-brainer. Go to a college and see what they have with their safe spaces and their white privilege lie and the this and the that. They try to shout down anyone who has anything to say that doesn't fit into their little pea brains. All right, I'm sending you Government Zero. Did you ever read it yet, Mike?
No, I'm excited to get it. I just want to say one more thing, Dr. Savage. That's why we need someone like Trump to be a bully to the left, because they're so vicious that we need someone as...
I said that all along the way, and that's why I'm going to advise them, if they still listen to me, and that's a big IF, do not let him moderate himself too far to the left or to the middle. If he does, he's going to lose you. He will lose this audience, and you will not vote for him. I know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what anyone says to you. If he starts playing patsy and plays the middle, and he starts making nice with all the enemies of this nation, he is not going to win as many of them as he will lose of us. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Time is flying, I gotta tell you. So it's odd how people come together in the world. Different cultures, different classes. And Trump and Savage... This is the story today, from my point of view, maybe not from his. There are many elements to explain his ascension to the nomination. But I'll say this, class thing. My mother didn't watch polo. She played bingo. I mean, that says it all. I mean, I'm sure I got some of you guffawing over that one. No, she played bingo in the old age home. She didn't watch polo at the club. That says it all to me.
But here we have a billionaire who embraces his billionaire status instead of hiding it, like all the phonies in the Republican Party who made up their humble origin thing. Remember that one? They all made it up, even going back to the joke of Al Gore. Now, him and Tipper suffered, and they lived in a trailer in the army. Remember that lie? The guy was born rich. Instead of embracing it, he hid it. Hillary, rich woman. Instead of embracing it, she makes believe she's poor and tries to overly identify with poor people. Let's put it to you that way. She's as much to do with an immigrant as a Martian is. I'm closer to the immigrant experiences than any of them, by the way. I'm the son of an immigrant. So what does that have to do with any? It has a lot to do with everything. And I want to read something to you that's very important. The gangs that burn down Baltimore and riot in cities across America with their protests are today's brown shirts. They may not be acting under the government's direction, but they have the same effect on the populace, and they get a pass from the government after the fact. They destroyed Ferguson, Missouri, and got away with it. They burned businesses and other property in Baltimore and got away with that, too. They had the president covering for them, just as Hitler and Goring backed the brown shirts. They owned the streets of Oakland, California. Goring's support of the brown shirts and neutering of the local police left German citizens defenseless, just as law-abiding citizens feel defenseless in American cities today when the rioting starts. The brown shirts also looted local businesses in Germany, just as the rioters in Ferguson, Oakland, and Baltimore looted. Now, what am I getting at with this page 296 from Government Zero in the Chapter Zero Police? I quoted myself verbatim. Where's the Hitler analogy here? I'll tell you where it is. Along Trump's road to the nomination, there were some fools who compared him to Hitler. Remember, I can name them, but it's foolish to name them because they're fools to begin with. We all knew he wasn't Hitler. What they were doing was projecting the fact that they were the communists who supported the rioting and looting in America. Their optic chiasma was reversed in their heads. They weren't talking about Trump's similarities to Hitler, because there are none. They were talking about their connectivity to the communists who raged through the streets of Germany. The thugs, the criminals, the communist thugs and criminals who were intimidating the local populations. That's who they are. So they took it and reversed it and threw it at Trump. All those who said he was Hitler were saying that they themselves are the thugs and the criminals, because they were supporting thuggery and criminality. Make no mistake about it, we're living through the revolution I predicted. It's a low-grade revolution, but we're living through it. And Trump's rise yesterday is only the beginning of this. You have seen nothing yet. When Obama unleashes these mobs, should Trump win the presidency, you better get ready, my friends, because all hell will break loose in this nation. I'll save that for another show. I'll just save it for another time in another place. We don't have to get ahead of ourselves. My friends, when I come back, I have some real treats for you, including the original 2011 interview with Donald Trump. It's a collector's item coming up only on this show, The Savage Nation. No one else has it. No one else can play it, because no one else would have him on their radio show in 2011. He was considered a nonentity and a joke, but not to me and not to you. I introduced him to the mainstream of America. The original 2011 interview with Donald Trump, a collector's item right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the program. I haven't done one since 1994. The last time I did a live performance in the Concord Pavilion, 7,000 people paid a lot of money to see me and Teddy. Little Teddy, he's now an old man. He's 12 years old. He's turned a little gray in the beard. Our hair color is the same. And we're talking about the Savage Nation and the rise of Donald Trump. Welcome to the program. And I think the best line from the first hour, which summarizes a lot of what I was saying, is, although my policies and that of Donald Trump have been similar till now, our backgrounds were quite dissimilar. My mother didn't watch polo. She played bingo in the nursing home. I kind of love that line. I think I'll remember that one, because it says a lot about what I'm trying to say to you. He's a rich guy, and he didn't hide it. So why does the poor guy embrace him? Why would a poor guy in Youngstown, Ohio, or an out-of-work guy in an old steel town in Indiana vote for Donald Trump? They're not from the same background. They didn't go to a military academy in a limousine. They didn't marry a supermodel from Czechoslovakia. They didn't hobnob with the elite of the Democrat establishment for 20 or 30 years. Why would they vote for him? They know all of these things. They're not stupid. See, here's the problem. The Cruz opportunists assumed that the average guy was too stupid to know who Donald Trump was. The exact opposite is true. They know exactly who Donald Trump is, but they feel that of all the people who might just be able to change things, it's him. Because he's brash, he's bold, and he's got the ability to take people on. He's not afraid of them. So that's what they're gambling. They're gambling. No one really knows if he becomes president, if he, A, will continue with some of the policies that he has espoused, or whether he can ever even get them done. Remember, you got to work through Congress. We'll never forget that. One of the great stories of my youth was when I was a kid, LBJ was president. I didn't know who he was, really. I knew he was this big Texan, very tough guy, and Speaker of the House, then became president. And somebody told me that LBJ was able to get virtually anything done that he wanted because he knew how to work the halls of Congress. He knew how to bend arms. He knew how to make deals. And so he was a deal maker. Now, Donald Trump is a deal maker in the world of business, which is not the same as the world of politics. Remember that. Never forget the difference between the world of politics, which is a wholly different world, than the world of business. See, in business, you're dealing with individuals who have what we call today skin in the game. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Listen carefully. In business, you're making a deal with someone who has something to gain or lose in the negotiation. In politics, not really. There's nothing that personal about it. It's for someone else. They're fundamentally, congressmen today are nothing but glorified lobbyists. Everyone's known that for a long period of time. And they're representing special interests. So they're not personally involved in the negotiation as a businessman would be. And that's why their word means nothing. That's why we have no faith in them. Their word means nothing. In business, well, you might get someone who lives by his word, because eventually his reputation will be established and people will say you can trust him or you can't trust him. Either he's a trustworthy person or he's Harvey Weinstein, in other words. Something like that. People will come to understand your character based upon your previous relationships in business, because word does spread. Either you're a man of your word or you're not. And that's why his ability to get things done in business may not translate to his ability to get things done with the snakes and the people of low character in politics. I'm sorry, that's what it is. Most of them in politics have very poor characters, or they would have gone into business or done something else. Who else would take a job like that for such little money? I mean, if they really want to make money, they have to become thieves. Think about that. If a guy's making 150 grand a year as a congressman and some perks here and there, and he really wants to make money, how is he going to make it unless he's on the take, under the table, right? So therefore, he's a low-income earner. That's all. You're not dealing with the most elite of America. They're schleppers. They're bagmen. They run back and forth. That's all. That's why you see these guys getting arrested for taking a trip to Honduras. That's how cheap they are. They take a salami and a trip to Honduras, and they go to jail. Then they lie about it to the FBI. Did you eat that salami, that SNW salami company in Brooklyn gave you? Yes or no? Well, I didn't actually eat it. I cut it. I had it on the table. My son came in and ate a piece of salami. My sent some to my mother in the nursery. Did you eat it or didn't you? I didn't actually eat it. I nibbled at it. I didn't like the skin. I tasted it. I spit it out. Does that count? So they put him in jail for perjury. This is what they're getting them on now, is perjury. But look at what this is at stake. Cheap trips to Honduras, a trip to Las Vegas. It's unbelievable to me what these guys will go down for. So, as again I said, what's the point of this story? The point is that although Trump has been successful in business, his detractor, not really successful. I love it. All the little schmendricks. He's not really successful. He went bankrupt. All the little schmendricks. They never had a job in their life that made amounted to anything, but they put him down. They're all experts on business deals. I love that. Just take a look at his name, his brand on all of the buildings. What are you going to knock that to? It's not your name on the building, is it? It's his name. So getting back to the issue at hand, which is his platform, his policies,
How has the Savage Nation influenced Trump's policies? Did my show and Trump's appearances influence or motivate you? Which state are you in? And we do have the original 2011 interview with Trump, a collector's item that's coming up. And I'll take the calls at 855-407-282. But I want to go back to something I started in the last hour. I got to get it off my chest because I got to clear it up so I can move forward. It's a day of reflection for me and everyone else. And for me, as an ambitious kid, I was always very ambitious. I have always been what makes Sammy run. Don't let anyone lie to you about their place in the world. Anyone who got anywhere is very ambitious. They tell you they're not, they're lying to you. I've been ambitious since I'm a kid. I've always wanted to succeed. From the earliest memory I have, I always wanted to make a name for myself. And I thought it would be through writing. And I've been very fortunate in having many bestsellers. I came into broadcasting very late in life, and I found that I had a natural ability for it. And, of course, I'm here, okay? That's the rest in history. But the point I'm making is, so now I say to myself, I'm at a juncture in my career and in my life. The juncture is the man that you backed is likely to be president. It's highly likely that a man as honorable as Trump is liable to send a missive down to you to come and visit him. And he's liable to say, look, Savage, I said when I was on your show months and months ago, it would be a year ago, that I need smart people. And he's going to say, I know how smart you are, you know, with your degrees, and I listened to you for years on and off in New York on WABC when I'm in the car. And he said, would you like to come to work for me? I'm running a fantasy by you, which I had last night. So I ran one by you of no, I can't run an agency. That's not me. I'm not a bureaucrat. But I'm really honestly thinking about that, and I'm going to throw it to you, the audience. I'm going to throw it out there. Maybe I shouldn't do these things. Maybe I'm not as Machiavellian as you would like me to be. Maybe I'm not as calculating as you would like me to be. You know, I kind of wear my thoughts on my sleeve as far as I can without being a lunatic altogether. If Donald Trump were to reach out to Michael Savage after he wins the election in November, if he did, I said, if. He never has. I said, if. And I don't know whether it would happen or wouldn't happen. Who knows how these things work? I'm not a politician. What if he did? If you were advising Michael Savage, would you accept a position in government? Because to me, that's a step down. It's not a step up. I mean, I'm not knocking everyone in government. Don't get me wrong. Please don't take the idea I'm throwing out here and saying, oh, you think you're too good for it. No, I don't say that. But if you're a famous author and broadcaster, as I am, whether you like it or not, I'm a famous author and broadcaster, would I want to go into government? I mean, is that how it works? Is that a step up? Or is that slipping down the ladder of success? I don't even know. Is it going up or down to go into government? That's number one. I think it's down. But number two, what could I actually do that would be of value? What could I do that would be of value to America? What agency or department, I ask myself, would I be of any influence in that would have any lasting benefit to America? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'd like to do something useful for the country. What would that be? So I say, well, you have a background in science. Maybe you want to work at the National Science Foundation. Maybe you'd want to work at the NIH and clean up that corruption. Maybe you want to see funding for pure science all over again instead of science that's controlled by the government. As I pointed out, the Lysenko affair in the Soviet Union under the Soviet system, what it became, what science had degenerated to. Same thing under Obama. Science today has been absolutely degraded under Obama. It's all politics all the time. Unless you can prove that global warming is involved in how a snail dart runs across a highway, you're not going to get any money in entomology. Unless you can go to the national, what's the one that funds the arts? The National Institute of, I don't know, one of them funds the arts, for example. So unless you can do a painting that shows the devastating effects upon global warming on an islander in the Kiwis, you're not going to get a fund, any funding from Obama's sorority. This is a corrupt nation right now. So I'd like to have an influence on decloying that insanity. And funding true art and true science, that would be one thing. I don't know how much influence a man could have over such agencies, but that's something I'd like to do, which is to turn them back to the pure agencies they once were. I think about that. But on the other hand, I also have a great interest, again, thinking out loud with my audience. How many years have I done this with you? If you've been listening to the show since the beginning, I'm pretty famous for stream of consciousness. It's what I created in talk radio. No one can duplicate it. Which is why people get angry at me.
They don't understand the format called stream of consciousness. But I understand it because it's what I do. So I'm saying to you, stream of consciousness now. What else could I do? Well, there's one other area of interest that's of great interest to me, which is communications. So which agency in the federal government is of paramount importance to freedom of speech? My friends, that's the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. If Hillary wins the presidency, she will pass the so-called fairness doctrine and put talk radio out of business. She will completely eliminate any opposition speech. We'll be living in China. If they don't harvest your kidneys, they'll harvest your thoughts. So let's pray to God that that demagogue, Hillary Clinton, does not win. And let's pray that Donald Trump does win. And let's pray that he does really want to spread the sound of freedom everywhere. And there's no greater freedom than, as expressed in the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, freedom of the press. And right now we're living in very, very weird times under Barack Obama, who poses as a liberal but is anything but. So that's another area that I sometimes think would be of interest to me. And I wonder what you, the audience, think would be of some value to this nation. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. This is a very big, fun show for me. I got to tell you, I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. On the program today, Henry on WABC in Manhattan. I hope, and where are you calling from, Henry? When it says ABC, where are you listening from?
I'm actually not in Brooklyn, listening on 77.
Okay, my friend, so what's your call about?
I'm saying we're kind of in a new Cold War with Russia, even though Russia is not a communist country anymore, so I don't see why Obama feels threatened by Russia. If we can have an Ambassador Savage to Russia and calm things down and get us to work together, and that would be much better for both of us. I don't see why we're fighting with them.
Well, it's an interesting proposition. I think that they need a Russian speaker to be an ambassador to Russia, number one. Number two, being an ambassador requires a skill set that I don't have, in addition to not speaking Russian fluently. I don't know whether it's a requirement. I think it should be. I mean, people buy these positions from presidents. Obama has ambassadors that are absolutely failed jokesters around the world. He sends people to Poland, they don't speak Polish. It's lucky he can send an English speaker to be the ambassador to Ireland, but so normally you have to speak the language of the country, number one, but I don't think I am mentally or emotionally equipped for that kind of life, to be honest with you. That kind of protocol that's required, the heavy security of being an ambassador is overwhelming. Always looking over your shoulder. It sounds like the life I lead now. So I don't know that it would be too much different, but then I would worry about the polonium salami sandwich that I might get from someone inside my own staff, you know. I don't think it would come from Russia. It's liable to come from somebody inside the Moscow embassy, the U.S. embassy itself, somebody from the Democrat side. They'll feed me a polonium a sushi sandwich. So there's too much risk involved, you know what I'm saying? But Henry, you raise a bigger issue, which is this whole issue with Russia. One of the reasons I backed Trump is because he had the intelligence to not antagonize Putin, but to want to work with him, like that fool Cruz was repeating the idiocy of the neocon attitude that Putin is the new Hitler, we should go to war with Russia, let's move equipment into Europe. In other words, these were the fools who were repeating the mentality of the 1950s or 60s or 70s, even the 80s, the Reagan era. These are old Reaganites who haven't understood that the world has changed around them. And they are the most dangerous people in the political world right now. Old Reagan heads still see the world as it was under Ronald Reagan when it is no longer that world. It's a different world. And that's their problem. They're stuck in amber. Russia is not the same Russia as it was. Is Putin a dictator? Yes. Is he a dictator that we need? Yes. Is he a brutal dictator? No. He's certainly not on the order of Kim Jong-un. I don't hear them saying go to war with Korea, these geniuses. I mean, there are dictators who are far worse. Is Iran run by a dictatorship? Yes. So how come the neocons aren't saying build up the military and surround Iran? Why are they focusing on Russia so much? The reason is because Obama
is personally threatened by Putin's popularity, as I have pointed out in Government Zero. I spent half a chapter explaining Obama's literal mania for Putin. But the worst part here was Cruz. Cruz was repeating that stupidity of go to war with Russia. So to come back to the main point of Trump, one of the reasons I respected him is because right up front, I have the tape of it, he was on the side of making a friendship with Russia rather than a new enemy. And he said there are natural ally that we can use. In fact, when he was on my show last week, he said, I'll sit down with Putin, who said a lot of nice things about me, doesn't influence me at all, and I'll try to do a deal with him. But he said, if there's no deal to be made, I'll be out of there very quickly. He has no influence on me. He said that. I don't know if you heard any of that. But no, Henry, I am not made to be an ambassador to anything other than the president of the Savage States of America. Thanks for calling from WABC. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yes, I want to ask you something. So not only was the upset of Trump a big story, a huge story, and Cruz leaving, huge story, never thought he'd leave, but Hillary's defeat by the commie was another big story, and I'm surprised, and I'm saying this not in jest, by the way, I said it to someone last night on the phone, I expected today that they release some kind of nut school shooter, you know, a little one of the controlled cyborgs, another false flag job to have the newspapers filled with that, so that people wouldn't focus on Trump's sudden rise and Hillary's sudden collapse. I'm shocked. I don't know, maybe they're on vacation in the Honduras or something this time of year, those who control the nuts. But, you know, if you're into conspiracies, you get the joke. But if you're not, you think that I'm being facetious, which I'm not. So what is the Trump phenomenon? Some say it's a reaction to the left's intolerance. It's a consequence of Obama's transformation of America into a police state, a mental police state. That's part of it. That's certainly part of it. But there are many other elements to Trump's rise, which we've been talking about. And I still have that 2011 interview. Is that the one I promised? Why don't we do this right now? Let me take a call. I'm going to play a minute of this first interview from January 2011. When everyone was laughing at him, calling him a clown, Daily News every day painted him as a clown to their eternal shame. You know, they're not going to be laughing if he becomes president so much at the Daily News. Oh, Teddy, my dog's getting sick just at the thought of it. KSFO, San Francisco. Chuck, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, if you had a choice, I was hoping that you could head up the NIH, National Institutes of Health, there in Washington, D.C., and so you could clean up the medical system. I mean, the medical system has gotten to be just one big fraud thing after another, where all they do is want to get people on drugs, and they don't really care about the patients like they used to, and they just...
Well, but the NIH is not so much about clinical medicine, it's about research. And part of the NIH's mandate, along with the CDC, is to tell the truth to the people, and they've done the exact opposite. They've lied to us about immigrants coming over with epidemics. They've lied to us about Zika. There's nothing they've said nothing that is truthful in all the years I've been watching them in the last 10 years. It's run by a gang of frontmen for lobbyists who are cashing in a plenty, in my estimation. The NIH is a very, very corrupt organization right now. So is the CDC. They're not run by true scientists anymore. They are run by politicians with medical degrees. That doesn't make them better than the average person. An average person with a bachelor's degree could run the NIH better than they do, by the way, if he's honest and he really wants to clean up pure research. But they're not in clinical medicine, per se. They do clinical trials. And, yes, that does shape the kind of drugs that we use in America. But that's not really what I'm interested in. I'm interested in cleaning up science rather than cleaning up the practice of medicine, which is a whole different division of the United States government. 855-407-282. Let's do this quickly on the program. Time is limited. Here is the first interview on the Savage Nation with Donald Trump from January 2011. See if any of these themes are still striking a chord with you. Joining us right now is Donald Trump. Run the country like a business, not an empire. There's only one man I know who can do it, and that is Donald Trump. Donald, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us. Look, when you and I spoke yesterday, I asked you straight up. I didn't mince words. I said to you, where do you stand on tariffs with regard to Chinese goods? And you didn't blink. You didn't mince words. Tell the audience what you think should be done.
Well, look, nobody is hurting outside of OPEC this country more than China. What China is doing to this country is absolutely a sin, and it shouldn't be allowed, and somebody has to speak to them. Somebody called me last week. The head of China is coming next week to see the president. And they said, what message would you have that the president should give? I said, the president should cancel the meeting and immediately cancel the meeting until such time as they stop manipulating their currency, et cetera, et cetera. Because when they manipulate their currency, our companies cannot compete with theirs. They
cannot compete.
Beyond labor, beyond other things, they can't compete. And I will tell you, as a big buyer of products, a huge buyer of products, glass and lots of other things, the Chinese are very, I mean, I say, do we make anything in this country anymore? It's being made in China and other countries, but China is the big culprit. And the advantage they have is a manipulation through a manipulation of their currency. So what I say to you, very simply, is that I would absolutely tax all products coming in from China. Then you'll say to me, oh, but don't they loan us a lot of money by buying our bonds? And I would respond by saying, if you tax their products, those bonds will be paid off very, very rapidly.
Well, you and I had one point that we disagreed on where you said you cannot buy anything made in America anymore. And I said, Mr. Trump, you're wrong about that. You can buy a congressman.
Well, that's very true.
It's sadly true. So in addition to saying you're fired, you now want to say you're elected, huh?
Michael, I don't believe 5 or 6 years, because why are jobs coming back to this country if everything's being made in China, Mexico, lots of other places? You know what happened in Iowa? Iowa is, it's very sad, Newton, Iowa, Maytag, because of our brilliant system, Maytag moved their manufacturing and virtually everything out of Iowa, Newton, and into Mexico.
Yeah.
All the jobs.
Well, that's because of NAFTA and the WTO. Now, we on the conservative side in the media were opposed to that in the 90s. We opposed NAFTA. We opposed WTO. We were called crazy at the time. Would you repeal any of these international agreements if you were president, Mr. Trump?
Well, NAFTA has been a total disaster. It's just been unbelievable how horrible it's been. You go up and look at New England, all you see is empty factories that are just decaying buildings.
Yes.
And those people moved out, and they moved over to Mexico and other places. And you take a look at what's happened. The truth is the United States is a whipping post for the rest of the world. And the reason is because our people aren't smart enough or tough enough to do something about it.
One of my callers, Rich in Pittsburgh, is calling and he's saying in China they tariff our products. Is that true?
Totally true. I can tell you about a steel company, which I'm to mention, but I can tell you about a steel company, and I'm talking about a big one, where they're not allowed to go into China and sell steel. Look, General Electric recently, where General Electric was forced to give up all their technology and all their secrets in order to do business in China. I mean, it's terrible what's going on, and we do nothing. Look at South Korea. There's another one. There's another beauty.
Right. But Donald, if you were the chief executive of the United States of America, would you do some of the more controversial things that I've called for, such as, let's go to Iraq. Many men lost their lives, lost limbs, lost eyes. We lost our national honor in many ways. For what? They're sitting on a sea of oil. They've never given us a free barrel of oil. George Bush said that they would pay us back through oil. We never got one free barrel. Don't you think, for example, Iraq owes us a few hundred million barrels of oil in exchange for how many billions we spent there?
Iraq has $15 trillion of oil sitting under its land. People don't realize after Saudi Arabia, they're the second nation for oil.
Right.
Now, we've spent $1.5 trillion, okay?
Yes.
They should pay us back. They should pay us back. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the greatest example, only because, you know, it's not like Iraq is, I don't know, a lot of people would say, did we really do them a favor? If you go over there, it's a total mess. Which, by the way, Iran will take over as soon as we leave. What we've done in Iraq is unbelievable. You know,
yes.
They've been fighting for hundreds of years, back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Equals. Now we've denuded Iraq. So that as soon as we leave, Iran will go in and take over that oil, which is very interesting.
Well, when that war broke out, I said that this could be the greatest blunder, military blunder in American history. I hope Bush is right and not wrong, because if he's wrong, all that's going to happen is the Shia-dominated Iran is going to dominate Iraq, which was run by the Sunnis under Saddam, who was a balancing power to the Shia power within his own country in Iran. It was a complete mess. But let's look at Afghanistan. If you were president, would you pull the boys out of Afghanistan?
get out as soon as I could. Now, you have to understand, Michael, I'm a very, very hawkish person. I believe in really strong military, stronger than what we have right now.
Right.
I believe in all of that.
So do I.
What we are over there is policemen.
Yes.
What we are over there is policemen. You know, we didn't lose a war. If we pulled out, we didn't. We won the war, but we're policemen over there. We're not
yes.
meant to be policemen.
You know, in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, Mr. Trump, I ended by saying, run America like a business, not an empire. And I went on the air and I said, I finally have found a businessman who I think could run this country not only like a business, but as a business, because it is a business. Every nation fundamentally is a business, but you can't run a business at a loss, let us say, forever, can you?
Well, I'd also say a business with compassion, because there are certain times where government really can help people, and that's a great thing.
Run the country like a business, not an empire. We need a really successful, tough-minded man like Donald Trump, in my opinion. I would definitely back you if you ran, and I haven't backed anyone because I see nobody who can beat Obama out there on the Republican side. That's a terrible, terrible thing to say when you consider Obama is such a terrible president that the Republicans are going to do it all over again, Mr. Trump. And that's what I say. We really need you out there.
Michael, healthcare is destroying many, many companies. I know for a fact. I have friends that are literally closing up their companies. They're not going to be able to afford health care.
Well, we have a lot more to cover, and I know that this is not the last time Donald Trump will be on the Savage Nation, at least I hope not. And we're giving you an open door to the most important independent nation in the country, which is the Savage Nation. I sincerely mean it. This is not for ratings, Mr. Trump. This is to save the country that I love ever since I've been a Boy Scout in Queens, New York. And I hope you're the guy who's going to do it, and you're the guy who's going to save this country.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. You have a great show. And I really do. I can't say 100%, but I agree with so much of what you say.
If you agreed with me 100%, I'd really worry about you. Donald Trump on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
That was from 2011. I want you to think about that interview. Think about it very carefully. Think about this. This was before the last election that put Obama back in power. It was the Obama versus Romney. Remember, I was already reaching out to Donald Trump. He was already thinking about running for office. This is an historic, this is a piece of media history that you just heard. It's a very important fulcrum for Donald Trump's current ascension to the throne of the Republican nomination and possibly to the presidency itself. And he understood very well what this audience represented. That's why he came on the show. He didn't waste his time. You know how valuable this man's time is today? Well, guess what? It wasn't as valuable then, but it was already quite valuable. He could have spent that time that he spent with you, the audience, making money. And why did he come on the show when he wasn't even a politician? Because in his mind, he knew he was going to run one day, and he also knew that this was the audience he needed in order to make it to where he is today. And I'll conclude this little walk down memory lane by saying once again to the Trump advisors, I know some of them must listen to the show, and I respect the fact that you do, listen very carefully. I will say it again. Please, put down your fork. Write this down. We know that Donald Trump has won. We know that he has taken on new advisors of the old school, the type that destroyed the Republican Party in the past. They're now inside the corridors of the Trump machine. They're now whispering in his ear. All the wise men who attacked him yesterday are now advising him today. All the wise men who spit on the Savage Nation are now sitting in that room with Donald Trump. All the wise men who said that we're nothing, that they don't need us, dismiss us, are sitting in that room. Here's my advice. Don't listen to them. Go with your instincts. Do not move to the left. Stop appeasing the left. Don't worry so much about the demographics that you seem to think you need to get elected. What you need to get elected is the demographics that put you into the primary seat that you are in right now. If you alienate the white guy, I'm going to make it very easy. The white guy who's been disenfranchised by the entire establishment is the reason you are now the nominee, Mr. Trump. And if you forget that, they're going to forget you. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Office tower today, I can guarantee you.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to the show. I'm here for another hour, by the way. No, some of you can't listen for full 3 hours. I get it. You got other things to do. And Mother's Day is coming up, you know, over the weekend. That's a big day for those of us on the show because we believe in mothers. We believe in women. We believe in the beauty of the family. And, you know, you're going to do the right thing. You know that for your mother. And Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, will be in bookstores next Tuesday. It just was posted in thebookreporter.com. And one paragraph, I'll read it. Listeners know Teddy as the silent other host of the Savage Nation. He's at Michael Savage's side during every broadcast, guarding the radio equipment and nipping the engineer's sneakers. But the fun doesn't end when the on-air light goes off. Teddy is Savage's constant companion, in the car, at home, and even shopping. Most importantly, Savage's inspiration, helping him remember that the most important things in life are the little things. Teddy and Me is a rare glimpse into the life of one of America's most popular talk radio hosts. It's very well put. That says it all. The pictures are astounding. Vince Romini, amazing pictures, the greatest pet photographer in the world. And I guarantee you that you'll love this book. I hope you look for it next week in the bookstore. You pick it up on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. And we're going to go back now to the issue of the day, which is politics. This is not a political book, and it's very interesting that I wrote a non-political book to come out in kind of a bridge time, which is right now, yet we're in the most hyper-political time in American history that I know of. There's almost no downtime for politics. There's almost no off day, no off. There's not a week I could take off. I don't think I can go anywhere. I want to take some time off, and I can't. There's just every day, in and out. It doesn't stop. It's relentless. And maybe that's good to live in interesting times, as the ancient Greeks said. It's good to live in interesting times, and I want to thank you for being in these interesting times with me. And the influence of Donald Savage, I'm losing my mind here. I almost morphed into Donald Savage and Michael Trump. Okay, forget about it. The influence that Michael Savage has had on the campaign of Donald Trump is up to anyone to figure out the overlap, because if you look at some of my books over the last couple of years, Government Zero, Stop the Coming Civil War, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny, many of those ideas are very sound ideas, extremely conservative ideas, and they are expressed now by the champion of such ideas, Donald Trump, who has taken them mainstream. That's exactly why I had him on the show in 2011. And it's exactly why he is now the winner of this brawl, this World Wrestling Federation brawl that we've been watching. But now, as they say, the real fun begins, because he's got to take on the machine that will all back Hillary Clinton, including those who call themselves conservatives. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's The Savage Nation. So, we're dealing with the question of how has the Savage Nation influenced Trump's policies? Did this radio show and Trump's appearances on this radio show influence or motivate you in any way, and in which state did you vote in a primary? In the last hour, we played the original 2011 interview with Donald Trump, a collector's item, and I hope you caught it. But I want to go back to an earlier analysis, an article, rather, that was written by World and Daily, Bob Unruh, back in February 24th, 2016. Michael Savage saying, I'm the architect of Trump's message. So we go down to the list, and we come to this point. On Trump's campaign positions page, he lists U.S.-China trade reform, Veterans Administration reforms, tax reform, Second Amendment rights, and immigration reform as priorities. On the day he announced he was campaigning for the GOP nomination for president, Trump pointed out that the illegal aliens coming into the U.S. across the southern border sometimes bring crime with them. Savage, 3 years ago, responded to a listener on that issue. When Savage was confronted by the assertion that immigration is needed, Savage pointed out, quote, wouldn't a sane and rational society select the types of immigrants they want rather than a willy-nilly wholesale amnesty for 30 million, many of whom don't even work? Savage cited that 30% of prisoners in the U.S. who are here who are illegal aliens. Savage then said his message has been echoed by the Trump campaign. There is no way to refute that. Everyone who understands the realities of what Trump is doing and why he is popular understands it's related to what I've written going back to several books now. I've been in the air for 21 years. My message has been borders, language, and culture. Tell me how that differs from Donald Trump's Make America Great Again. It's almost the same message. Single slogan. No, as the slogan goes, it is not the same. But fundamentally, Make America Great Again means borders, language, culture. We all know that. Savage, the recipient of the Freedom of Speech Award from Talkers Magazine, famously is the only member of the U.S. media ever blacklisted and banned from a Western nation. As WND reported in 2009, Britain put Savage on a list of 16 people banned from entry because the government believed their views might provoke violence, but the U.K. never specified which statements it found to be dangerous. On the Second Amendment, Trump says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. Savage said in 2011, quote, only an armed nation will survive, unquote. On tax reform, Trump now has won the early voting contest in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada after a close second place finish in Iowa. Advocates for tax relief for the middle class and simplifying the tax code. Well, you can read it for yourself. So we are all doing a victory lap today. Even those of us who feel he is too much of a social liberal understand that right now we have a chance to get what we want and to beat her. You understand that, my friends? Do you understand what I'm talking about? We are the winners today. We are the winners. Now, many of you will say, well, he's not a conservative. He's using me in my message. He's a con man, and I'm naive. I think you're naive to think that. The spoil sports out there, the Cruz supporters, have to understand that they lost. Even Cruz was, I would say, dignified enough and smart enough to back out. I never thought he would. I thought he was a diehard who was going to really, you know, throw a monkey wrench into this and fight it all the way to the convention. I'm glad he didn't, because there needs to be a unification. I don't know if they spoke, but I know the Cruz did the right thing yesterday. And I'm hopeful that we very soon, in the very near future, see a Cruz-Trump rapprochement. You know, if the Russians and the Americans could get together after the Cold War, after so many bad things were done and said, there's no reason that they can't join their forces together to defeat the woman who would take away our First Amendment and our Second Amendment, as sure as I'm sitting here. I don't mean eliminate it entirely. Oh, no, there'd be a First Amendment for those who agreed with her, as there is in China. There'd be a speech that would be permitted as long as it doesn't offend anyone in the government. That's not freedom of speech. In fact, as I've pointed out numerous times, including at the great speech I gave at the Freedom of Speech Awards speech, the First Amendment was written to defend offensive speech. Did you know that? No one needs a First Amendment to defend polite speech. What do you need a First Amendment for? If you're just going to agree with everyone and make them feel good, you don't need a First Amendment for that. You need a First Amendment to defend offensive speech. I think that message has been lost in the America of today, especially on college campuses, which have turned into these little cauldrons of, well, let's leave it at that, little cauldrons of hatred, little cauldrons of mini-communists running around. All they need is the blue suit and the red star. So anyway, that's why the First Amendment is under attack by Hillary Clinton, because she wouldn't permit offensive speech. Any speech that would offend the Democrat, socialist, LGBT agenda and throw in Islamists at the same time would be deemed to be offensive and probably prohibited under Hillary Clinton. In my opinion, that will not happen under Donald Trump. There will be a swing of the pendulum to the right like you've never seen in your life. After 8 years of this horror that we have all lived through, we've lived through a virtual horror for 8 years so far, and it's not over yet, by the way. He's only just begun. Remember the damage that Bush did in his last 6 months. I had warned you in August of the last year what Bush was going to do to the economy, for those of you who have been listening to the show long enough to know I'm telling you the truth. In August of that year, I warned you Bush was not finished yet. He was only warming up.
That's when he busted out the economy, okay? So they all do their greatest damage. They save it from August onward. Now couple that with the election coming in November, and if Trump wins, as I think he will, in a landslide, you will see a, oh my goodness, what you will see. Wait until you see what this man will do on the way out the door. Think of tenants that you may have known or rented to, who you rented a nice house to, and when the lease was up, after they got their deposit back, but they were really bad people, they pulled the sinks out of the wall, they let wires hang, they stole chandeliers, they just really wrecked your house. You know what I'm saying? Just have that image in your mind of what could happen to the edifice of this nation. You know, I don't mean, I mean figuratively, you get that, right? All right, let's take some calls. I got great callers now all over the country on different topics. Let's begin this hour in Washington, D.C. on WMAL. Nicole, line 3, fire away, 30 seconds or less.
Michael, I think that you should not take a position in the administration, the Trump administration, if you were offered, because I think that you would lose any objectivity or I'd sort of stifle you. But if you had to, do you like the idea of the Department of Education? Maybe you could do to them what they did to us, exact a little revenge, get it back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I get bored when you say the Department of Education. I was as educated as I am and as many years as I spent in systems of learning, and I have spent many a year in higher education, I was one of those kids who was too much of a dreamer to spend that much time enjoying the classroom. I was one of those kids who might have etched the words Board of Education in a wooden desk, B-O-R-E-D, with a compass as much as anyone else. I'll tell you the truth. I would sit there stultified by the whole concept of education. But we certainly need a dedicated conservative who's going to eliminate Common Core. There's no question about that. I'm not the candidate for that, though, Nicole. I'm not the right person to go into such a system. I wouldn't survive it. WFTL in Florida. Todd, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Sowers, it's an honor to speak with you. I was thinking if you had the opportunity, you could take the position of Surgeon General.
Well, I'm not a surgeon, and I'm not a general. Don't you have to be a medical doctor to be a Surgeon General? Well, actually, wait a minute. Let's think about that. Since Obama appointed a non-combat woman who probably never fired a rifle to head West Point, I would suppose that Donald Trump could appoint a non-medical doctor to be Surgeon General. Why not? There's a precedent for it. Now, a Surgeon General has to be confirmed by the Senate. You cannot ever expect me to be confirmed by this Senate for any position whatsoever, even if I would accept it. If I had been offered such a position and accepted it, anything that has to go through a Senate confirmation would not fly. It has to be a direct executive appointment on the order of the West Point appointment by Obama. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You cannot expect any of Trump's appointments to sail through Congress, not with the division that we see today. He doesn't need to lose those those battles. Thanks for the call. 1-800, that's the wrong number, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. KERN. Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, first of all, Dr. Savage, I just want to say thank you. I've listened to you. I'm a young man. I'm only 27, but I've listened to you for a while. And back in the summer when Trump came out, I told everybody, I think this guy could do it. And everybody laughed at me. And I felt kind of alone on an island, but I listened to you, and I really felt like you were a friend to me because I'd sit in the car and hear you, and you were saying things that were true, and that resonated with me. And no one really likes the fact that I support Trump. So I just want to say thank you for that.
All right. You're welcome for that. That's as simple as that. You're welcome for that. We talk about what's true and what's false. And the fact of the matter is, there are people who speak. And the minute, let's put it to you this way. Somebody wrote this. It used to be artists who triumph the truth by speaking the truth. In this case, it was a politician. As for Cruz and Kasich, the former didn't realize that followers were everything, that a megaphone is meaningless unless you have acolytes. You see? He wrote, it used to be artists triumph by speaking the truth. In this case, it was a politician. Well,
Actually, today it's talk show hosts, and it has been for many decades now. It's the talk show hosts who predated the politicians by speaking the truth. And that's why there are audiences for talk radio, even in this day of oversaturation of programs and opportunities for people to participate in the media. And as I said to you, Hemingway wrote when I was a young writer, and I'll never forget this line, the truth has a certain ring to it. It's that simple. You know, you got to think about this. And I've touched on this once or twice before in 20 years. In television, you have lights, camera, action. You have sets. You have visuals. I don't have to make the obvious point that if you have beautiful women on the stage with high heels and stockings who are fundamentally doing a burlesque in the middle of the news, that helps ratings. That's something Wolf Blitzer should look into. Maybe that, you know, he needs somebody with a naked foot and a shoe, moving the shoe up and down. His ratings go right up. No one wants to look at him. But nevertheless, we don't have that in radio. What do we have in radio? I have no one with a shoe and a stocking. I have no lights, no sets to keep you looking. I have no such tricks as breaking news, which Fox uses every 3 seconds. Like a lab rat. Every 3 seconds, whoosh, and a breaking news, and it's no news. All a trick, all very good, all part of the hypnosis. So what is it that I use? I can't speak for the next person in radio. I'm not here to tell you what they do or what they shouldn't do. I have only one thing. I have my voice. I play some music. I play some sound. But fundamentally, my instrument is what you are hearing. And so either you connect with it or you don't connect with it. Some do, some don't. But over the years, it's built up to a nice following. And the reason they listen to me is for my analysis. Make no mistake about it. Even if some don't agree with my conclusions, they like to listen to the way I reason because it's a lost art in America, especially in the media. I have an Aristotelian approach to the truth. I try to use deductive or inductive reasoning, which again was taught to me as a young boy and then in college. I told you before, it's very important you hear it again. I once took a course, a graduate course, way back when, way before my master's degree, at the City College of the University of New York. I remember it was a night course, and I took it. It was in logic and scientific method, because I had come back from Europe. I was rather unstable emotionally from the experiences I had had, and I didn't know really where my head was at. So I figured I should study logic and scientific method to kind of straighten my head out. I was shocked to learn that I had to use mathematical formulas in order to read Aristotle. In other words, we were translating Aristotle into mathematics and then trying to prove that he used pure reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's when I straightened my... It was like balancing my mind. I was like doing a tune-up. I've not forgotten what I learned in that course. I'll be back in a minute. Don't underestimate the accent, please. You will do so at your own risk.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Over the coming days and weeks, we're all going to be talking about can Trump beat Hillary, and the answer, in my opinion, is a resounding true yes. All of the schmucks who said he couldn't be the nominee, who called him a clown and a phony and a fraud and a showman, are now suddenly making the 180, and oh, yeah, now they're on his side, especially that idiot. The biggest jerk of them all now is the Weekly Standard guy, Bill, I don't remember his name. So now they're saying he can't win because women and Latinos want nothing to do with him. They were proven wrong again, and they're still repeating the big lie. Women have flocked to Trump, and I've told you why. And again, I won't use the word Latino. I find it offensive. The correct word is Hispanic. That's the correct word. Latino is a political word. Hispanic is a more correct description of the individuals who are of Spanish-speaking countries. And the fact of the matter is, I've told you they would go to Trump, and you've seen only the beginning of that movement. And the reasons are quite simple. They want a businessman who will lift up the economy so they can do better in this country, number one. And number two, I've said it before, the Hispanic culture is a macho culture. They don't want a woman running their lives. They don't like Hillary Clinton. The men won't vote for her. By and large, they will not vote for her. They'll vote for him. And thirdly, as I told you, they like rich people. If a man is a working man and wants to get ahead, he looks up to a rich man. He doesn't spit on him like the leftists want him to do. They got it upside down. The Mexican immigrants in particular are very hardworking people. They want to make it in America. They have families. They have children. They want the best for them. They're going to vote for a man like him. They're not going to vote for her. Now, as far as women go, they feel protected by Trump, which is why they went to him in droves. But you got the same people who are saying he can't win, he's a clown, who are saying the same thing they said then, saying it now against Hillary. They're wrong.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Someone sent me an email. Let me tell you something. A friend of mine, I like that, a friend of mine sent me an email and said, you know, Savage, when Trump becomes president, you'll liably become his Al Sharpton. I said, what do you mean? And my friend said, just like Sharpton's been in and out of the Obama White House like 50 times through the back door, they hide him as an advisor and God knows what, you're going to go in and out of the Trump White House. I said, I won't go in the back door. I'll tell you that right now. If I go into the Trump White House as an advisor, it's going to be through the front door. And I want to, you know, I want to actually speak out loud and think out loud about this, because I've been thinking to myself about this. I believe Trump's going to beat her in a landslide. That's personally what I truly believe. I don't care how many illegals he brings in, Obama. I don't care what kind of, you know, how they jury-rigged the voting. He's got a better team than people thought, Trump, and he's much smarter than they thought. They all underestimated him, calling him every name under the sun. Are they not laughing today? Old Mort Zuckerman is not laughing today. None of them are laughing today because they realize that when he does become president, they're liable to have hell to pay for what they've said about him or what they've tried to do in mocking him. So I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, and I joked once, do you remember, a few months ago, Donald was on this show and I said, when you become president, I'd like to run HHS. Do you remember that? I mean, I'll acknowledge I said it not so jokingly because I'd like to clean up the welfare state. It would be like Grant took Richmond if I ever ran HHS. I cut welfare so fast the food stamps would disappear. Nobody would know what hit them and half of them would find out they could suddenly live without them. Suddenly, all of a sudden, they'd be living anyway, like they did. Somehow, my family was poor. They didn't need food stamps to get by. They just didn't, you know, need as much. They didn't need 3 televisions and 5 cars and 12 vacations at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? You live on less. It's that simple. So when the government stops giving you handouts, you don't wind up in the gutter necessarily. What you wind up is with living less. So, yeah, I could clean up HHS, but the thing is, A, he's not going to offer, and B, I wouldn't take it for 3 reasons. A, I am not a bureaucrat. I will not run a major agency because all it would be sitting at a desk 12 to 16 hours a day having meetings with people who want something from me. Either they want a grant or a contract, or a vendor wants a grant or a contract. And that's not my lifestyle. It would be a step way down from where I am. I am not a bureaucrat. I never have. I've never been a suit. There are people who are expert, by the way, at managing organizations and managing people. That's not who I am at all. Ever. Never was. There are people who do it, and we need them. But I'm not it. So don't think I'm looking for that job. Believe me, I'm not. There's another couple of interesting analyses of this situation yesterday. Ted Cruz overplayed his hand with the GOP, and now he's done. Jeffrey Blahar, New York Post. A leftist who writes a blog about music named Bob Lefsetz. It's an odd name, Lefsetz, went into this. And he said, the more the intelligentsia tells me he's unelected, the more I want to vote for him. Nobody knows anything, especially the smart and educated. We applaud the graduates of the institutions. Those with money and fame can do no wrong, but then they do. Well, okay, sir, I'm highly educated, sir. And I've been behind Trump for quite a while. I realize that you and Woody Allen don't have radios in your apartments and you don't drive cars, so you don't get radio. I get it. I get the intelligentsia of New York and America. They don't even use the internet. Woody Allen boasted this morning in an interview he's never sent an email in his life.
but he's a strong supporter of Bernie Sanders, don't you know? Here's a man who begs for money to produce his schmaltzy movies from millionaire capitalists, and then he says he's a socialist. Typical Brooklyn picklehead, but that's what you get from insular jerks in New York City who think that they're a member of the intelligentsia. Running after money and screaming that money is dirty, you got it. I looked at an analysis of Trump's victory in a China newspaper. I can't even pronounce it. I'd be faking it if I tried to. I think it's Xinhua. They wrote an analysis of his victory, and they said he can beat Hillary. They know a lot more than the Cruzites do. They know a lot more than the fools on the Hill. I'm going to read you what they wrote in China. U.S. Republican candidate Donald Trump has virtually secured the nomination with a win in Indiana Tuesday night, and experts say he could even beat likely Demo nominee Clinton in the presidential race if he can tone down, notice that his explosive rhetoric, tone down. I'll get into that in a minute. They're wrong. The brash businessman cruised to an easy win in Indiana, which forced his chief rival, Senator Ted Cruz, to quit his campaign. While many analysts only 6 months ago dismissed Trump as a flash in the pan, insert, I didn't. I told you he would win. They simply underestimated the level of public anger over the weak U.S. job market and bitterness against Washington insiders. Washington insiders. I guess that would include many in the media, wouldn't it? While Trump has a high negative rate, the rate at which people dislike a candidate, those of Clinton are nearly as high, as a number of Americans find her stiff and unapproachable, and see her as someone who does not understand the needs of ordinary Americans. But perhaps the most telling is that Clinton has failed to galvanize her party or excite her supporters in the same way as Trump has done. Remember, this is from a newspaper in China. But, they say, the most telling is that Clinton has failed, but this has been shown by strong Democratic support for rival Senator Bernie the Communist Sanders, who put up a tough fight, blah, blah, blah. Sanders is expected to stay in the nomination long after his win in Indiana Tuesday night. For a virtual unknown, listen to what the Chinese say, for a virtual unknown and a socialist at that, a philosophy seen by many as un-American, no kidding, as seen as un-American. The only people who see socialism as American are the invaders and the subversives. What do you mean, American? Despite being a celebrity outside the United States, Clinton, the former First Lady and Secretary of State, simply neither excites nor galvanizes her base. Some analysts now say that the only one who can beat Trump is Trump himself. While he has galvanized the Republican rank and file like no other Republican candidate in his years, he is also vehemently disliked by many outside his base. Republican strategist Ford O'Connell, whoever he is, told Xinhua that if Trump just adjusts his rhetoric a bit to be less offensive, he could actually win this thing. We don't know who the strategist is, but he's a classic middle-of-the-road, check-pants, useless, country club Republican creep. The type you hated in high school. The tone and rhetoric is a major problem, said the Republican strategist. Anyway, the unknown O'Connell goes on to say he only needs to do a combined 600,000 votes, more than Romney did in 4 to 5 states, and if he does that, he's the next president of the United States, O'Connell said. Trump has, in fact, quickly changed his tone after the Indiana win. In his victory speech in New York, he already praised his rival Cruz, who we used to call Lion Ted, as a tough, smart guy who has got an amazing future. They write, still there is the burning question of Hispanic voters. The Hispanic vote is particularly worrisome for Trump, as he is strongly disliked by many in this crucial voting bloc, after calling Mexican immigrants rapists and vowing to build a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. Well, first of all, that's a lie. He did not call Mexican immigrants rapists. He never said that. This is a Chinese communist newspaper trying to smear Trump by making believe that they're saluting Trump. You get it? However, if Trump chooses former Republican candidate Marco Rubio, they write, the son of a Cuban immigrant, as a running mate, the Florida senator could help Trump gain enough Hispanic votes. Nonsense. Rubio was a none player. He's a zero. A zero. Rubio was an invention from the get-go of the Republican establishment. I called him the ice cream man 2 years ago. I knew who he was. O'Connell said Trump would need just about 30% of the Hispanic vote to win the White House, adding that Rubio's Spanish language skills would also help smooth over Trump's image. That's utter nonsense. It's not about Rubio. This is the Chinese Communist Party newspaper telling Trump to team up with Rubio in order to shaft Trump with the white voter, in plain English. You want me to be very clear with you there? I was very clear with you. They want him to choose Rubio so he loses his white base. very base that got him where he is. They want him to lose now by appeasing La Raza. End the story. The times, they are a change, my friend. I am the audience for Donald Trump. I am the person who galvanized America's white, working, middle-class Eddie for Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. I don't need anyone to tell me that I did that. I need to tell you I did that. Most of you in the media who are sitting there cynically listening to me don't understand something. It's time for you to sit and listen. It's time for you to sit down, fold your hands, shut your mouth, and listen. Because you didn't know what was going to happen, and I did. Now, maybe I don't sound, as eloquent as you may like. Or as toned down as you would like. But that's not my style. This is my style. This is how I talk when I actually speak. Most of the day, I have a vow of silence. I don't talk at all. I work alone with a dog in a room, period. A small group of rooms. I'm dedicated and devoted to one thing only, which is my radio show and writing books. That's all I do. That's all I do. If I see people, which is very seldom, I have to control myself because I'd rather speak like this. And since it offends and frightens people, I don't talk at all. I talk with you, probably, you the audience, more honestly than I do with individuals, in the sense that you're not being bristled by what I'm saying, in the sense that an individual would be in the same room. You can turn the show off if you're offended by me. They can't. So I tend to, like, modulate myself, and I don't like the feeling. And what I'm saying to you is there's a revolution going on in America. You are the revolution. The Savage Nation is the revolution that just happened in this country. Attention China. Attention Mexico. Attention Japan. Attention Europe. We are the reason Donald Trump just won the primary. Nobody else. So pay close attention to this show going forward. And you're liable to hear the real voices of America as opposed to the fakers on television like Wolf Blitzer and the others whose names I don't remember. They are not America. They are not the white men who voted for Trump. It's not Jake Tapper who voted for Donald Trump. It's the out-of-work factory worker in Indiana who voted for Donald Trump. The poor guy who was disenfranchised from his own nation by the imposter in the White House. And I cannot understand how these people don't get it yet. They keep talking about the Trump this and the Trump that, and they don't dare say one bad word about the imposter in the White House. They don't dare say one word about what he has done and is doing to the poor white man in this country, which would explain in great part why Donald Trump just triumphed. They won't connect the dots to Obama because the minute their brain even goes there, they shut it off. They are so brainwashed with fear that they won't even make the obvious connections. They'll talk about Trump and Hillary and Bernie and this, but when have you seen any connection to Obama's policies as they relate to Trump's triumph? I've seen it nowhere. Nowhere. There's no connection. Am I right, Robert? You haven't seen it. No one has said it's Obama's policies that led to Trump's triumph. Nobody has said that, but I just did. And make a note of it. Because he is the reason Trump just won. And Obama is the reason that Trump will beat Hillary. Mark it down. Make a note of it. Make a note of it. The 4th of May in the year 2016. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Well, as the program comes to a conclusion, here's a hot news story. Obama has just ordered federal agencies to stop asking job applicants about criminal history. This was uncovered by Judicial Watch, great organization. Obama orders federal agencies to stop asking job applicants about criminal history. Well, I can say one thing about that is that the criminals will be right at home going to work for the federal government. So, you know, birds of a feather and all that. To make public sector jobs more accessible to convicts, President Obama has issued a new order, another executive order, prohibiting federal agencies from asking candidates about criminal history when applying for positions. It's part of the Commander-in-Chief's mission to reduce barriers to reentry and employment for incarcerated individuals once they leave jail. The new measure, just announced, will affect tens of thousands of federal government positions funded with taxpayer dollars.
Government often tries to escape fallout by burying controversial or bad news right before the weekend. But it's difficult to keep this outrageous development below the radar. At the president's order, the Office of Personnel Management is publishing a proposed rule that would prohibit federal agencies from asking those applying for competitive service and career senior executive service positions about criminal and credit history. People with criminal records are already eligible to compete for the vast majority of federal jobs, a White House announcement states, and the proposed rule ensures that hiring managers are making selection decisions based solely on qualifications. Well, there's so many things we could say about that. Like, how about giving priority to returning veterans instead of returning criminals? Wouldn't you think that would be the mark of a fair president? To give a priority to returning veterans a federal job instead of someone just out of the slammer? I have no problem with a person wanting to start their life all over again, someone who made a mistake. But I'm awfully worried about, let's say, a child molester who gets out of jail and takes a job, let us say, oh, in the Department of Education. Would you like a deviant working in the Department of Education in charge of what kind of literature your little child is reading? Or let us say someone who'd been put in jail for fraud and served a couple of years for defrauding a state agency, as, let's say, a state worker. Would you like that individual working for the Department of Defense? Apparently Obama would. As I said, they'll be right at home with this new law. Here's another little story for you. Target stock drops 4.2% in wake of LGBT bathroom policy announcement. In the wake of publicizing its policy to allow people to use the bathrooms and changing facilities that correspond with their gender identity, that's a joke, Target stock has dropped 4.2% in the past 2 weeks. As CNS News previously reported, the retail chain announced on its, well, you know the whole story. Now, I can go on and on about this whole issue, and the way it's being posed by the press is completely fallacious, that the state of North Carolina, or is it South Carolina, I can't remember already which Carolina it is, pardon me if you live in the Carolinas, whichever passed the law saying that they prohibit a person who wants to go into a bathroom of their choice based upon what they feel their sexuality or gender identity is, I believe that the lie is so overwhelming. When they call it the anti-LGBT, whatever law, that's a big lie unto itself. It is not an anti-LGBT law whatsoever. It is a pro-family law. But the media is so perverted. The media is so twisted that everything that comes out of there, well, you know the rest of the story, and that's why Donald Trump just won. We're all screaming for hope and change. We all hope that Trump beats Hillary and that we have real change. Thank you for listening to The Savage Nation.